It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light it up on a Wednesday hump day edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we just thank you so much for being a part of today's presentation. I am Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7, the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Get us at horns247.com. Get that Longhorn Blitz podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search Horns 24/7. Click that follow button. Don't forget to leave us a five-star review. You can get me on Twitter at JeffHowe247 and the Horns 24/7 Twitter account at Horns247. Also, Texas Longhorns 24/7 Sports on Facebook if you're on Facebook or Meta or whatever Zuckerberg's calling his operation these days to stay ahead of the feds. However you get your Longhorn news, plenty of ways to get it at Horns 24/7. We'll talk plenty of Texas football today. We'll lay out the show here in just a minute. But just a reminder, no Craig Way today. Craig is on the East Coast. I saw some of Craig's pictures. He and the men's basketball team, they did the Empire State Building tour, all that fun stuff yesterday after landing in the New York, New Jersey metro area. Texas and Seton Hall tomorrow here on the Horn, 5 o'clock pregame, 5:30 tip for the Longhorns and the Pirates, a top 25 showdown. So Craig is on the East Coast, not in studio with us today or tomorrow. He will be back on Friday. I will be out on Friday. So we're kind of mixing and matching and moving some things around as we motor on through this holiday time of year. And speaking of the holiday time of year, a man who loves the holidays, he loves his Christmas music. I have put him up to the challenge of going bumper Christmas music on the show today, so I can't wait to see what he's got in store for us. He is the publisher, curator, otherwise major domo of everything FlexATX, FlexATX.com, at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. He is the great, the legendary, the one and only Snoop Daniel. Snoop, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. Meta is up 2.4% on the stock market today, $7.76.
Snoop of Wall Street, stand on top of it. What are you into right now, Snoop, in terms of the stock market?
So I got to say that the stock market isn't.
By the way, that was a Diet Coke for anybody wondering what that snap was. It wasn't an adult
Brewski
beverage. It's a Diet Coke
legit.
Pouring into a cup of ice right now.
So. Oh, hold on. Let's hear that.
Want to get up to a microphone?
Yes, please.
There, see? Diet Coke.
Now that is quality radio.
It's what we do here on Light the Tower. We are the high school sports show of record, and ridiculous banter is also what we're about on this show. So now go ahead, Snoop. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Stock market.
Oh, stock market, yeah. So the market it hadn't been great of late, and neither has Bitcoin. Remember when Tom Brady paid that guy in Bitcoin for the football and it was worth 65?
Yeah.
Well, it dipped pretty big. It got all the way down to 48. Wow, I am Snoop of Wall Street right now. But crypto was not on Wall Street. They hate each other. But I'm finding out. I'm learning more. I'm more learned than when you last asked me about it. But yeah, but it dipped. The market dipped big. So I've been putting my money in a Roth, but that hadn't been doing great either. So I just hold my money and just don't do anything with it.
You never gave us your report on cryptocurrency.
Well,
like I asked you for a high school style, you know, essay on cryptocurrency.
I bought it at its high point, 69K.
Nice.
But it dropped down to like 47. It's back up to 51. But it's more exciting than the stock market because it really is up and down. It can go way up and way down.
So. Bucky, you want to hang out for a little bit or did you just forget, did you forget your keys?
Yeah.
Oh, Bucky,
sit down,
Bucky Godbolt, ladies and gentlemen.
I had one of those moments where I need more than just a nap. Yes, my keys are here. I don't like to leave that stuff here.
Bucky, how you? Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to get home if you got no keys.
True.
How you feeling, Buck?
Feeling good?
Yeah,
feeling good. You know, ever since my little episode that I had, which was basically a stroke.
Yeah.
Which when I was 29 years old, I had a pretty real live stroke that put me during coaching at Boston College that kept me in the hospital for about 6 days.
At 29, you had one?
Yeah, I thought I was on top of the world, but somebody told me, guess what? I may not kill you, but I'll slow you down.
Right. We all get those moments.
Just when I thought everything was going good and I could do anything I wanted to and I was invincible, the good Lord said, not so fast, young Buckster. Here's what we'll do. We'll put this thing in your brain that you'll have for the rest of your life, and so you'll make sure that you take care of yourself each and every day. And so I'm on some different medications, some blood thinners and things like that that I have to take, and not every episode is the same because you don't ever want to feel what it feels like to have a stroke. If you've been around people that have had strokes, it's not fun to watch. It's not fun to have.
No.
But I'm on some thinners, and even for a guy that's my size, I have to watch my cholesterol level. I need all the veins in my body running fluidly and a lot of pumping in it. You know, I don't have high blood pressure. I got I stay relatively cool. And the problem is with that, I need more pumping.
Yeah.
I need more blood going through the veins.
Got to staying active.
Yeah.
Keeping yourself going.
I guess watching NFL football on Sundays on the couch is not being active, I guess. And eating Twizzlers, and so I've had to stay. I love my Twizzlers.
I know. For those of you,
Twizzlers are good.
We don't have Twitch right now, but there's a chest of drawers over here in the corner that in the top drawer, Buck keeps his Twizzlers.
You have to. Oh,
yeah, I usually see him when I'm rummaging. Like if I'm forget headphones, I'm rummaging for a pair of headphones. There's usually a bag of half eaten Twizzlers in there.
But now I can't do that. Twizzlers are gone. Stuff like. You know, I can have a hamburger, but I can't have it with the bread. Anything that gets sugar into the clotting problems is a problem.
You want some of this flat diet Coke I'm drinking right now, Buck? This was a bad call.
No, I saw what Coke can do to a...
That's a dang coaching mistake on my part.
But yeah, you gotta be careful.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Buck, you want to hang out for just a second?
Sure, buddy.
I want to get your thoughts on this. So we're going to have a Longhorn Notebook. We've got Westlake head coach Todd Dodge coming up in the next segment. Snoop's Whataburger Top 5. What is your Whataburger Top 5 today, Snoop?
Top 5 players to watch.
Top 5 players to watch. We've got Inconceivable, another Longhorn Notebook coming up in the second hour. Plenty of time to talk Texas football. Buck, since we've got you, you are a part of that outstanding Lake Travis color play-by-play team, broadcast team, yourself, Mark Honig, and sidelines Stu Myrick. It's Lake Travis and North Shore coming up this Saturday at the Palace. We talked to Hank Carter yesterday. Lake Travis, they've been down this road before. They've seen North Shore. They're not going to be surprised or shocked by what they see when they walk on the field. I want to get your take on this Lake Travis team, though, Buck. You've seen this team evolve and grow. And, you know, when we talked to Coach Carter yesterday, he said, we really do feel like coming off of this Brennan game, like we're playing our best football of the year. And we are the high school sports show of record here. So you feel like this Lake Travis team, you think they're playing their best football right
now? Yeah, they're reaching that crescendo. This is the time of the year when you want to be playing your best. And some of the teams that they're playing are playing at their best, too, because
Brennan for sure was.
Yeah, that group from Brennan, with the quarterback and his brothers playing wide receiver, they just never got off.
Right.
In the course of the game, Lake Travis has been doing some great stuff with field position early in football games where they score, and they either score on defense or they score quickly on offense. And they've got Bo, the quarterback, is playing really, really well right now. This is a time when you want to see him. He gets a little nervous early in games and throws some high balls early. But once he settles in, he throws that 15-yard out really, really nicely. And Isaac Norris and, they've got players. They've got tons of good players. You know, obviously the kid is going to Ohio State. He's really now, Caleb Burton is now starting to feel it. But they have other players that are playing really, really well at this time. And they get everybody involved. By now, everybody's involved in this offense. But the offensive lines of scrimmage and defensive lines of scrimmage, they've been playing well all season long, except for the one game.
That's what I want to ask you about. I want to ask you about their lines of scrimmage, because I know anytime we talk to Coach Carter and anytime you talk to Hank Carter, it's just his background as a defensive guy. But you can talk about Bo Edmondson, you talk about their skill guys, he'll always come back to two things, front seven defensively and their offensive line. And he felt like both lines of scrimmage, the Brennan game was as good of a line of scrimmage game as they played all year.
Yeah, they really do. You know, and the kids also, they're playing a secondary for them. They may not be the most talented kids, but you know what they do? They position themselves really, really well
against
really talented wide receivers. But they play talented defensive secondary. They got really good ball skills when the ball is in the air, which is nice to see. Mm-hmm. And because I've seen a couple teams this year that have had some really outstanding wide receivers. That group from Wall, Texas, that group that we played early was spectacular. And they've got receivers there. But since that game, this group has really kind of come together and batted a bunch of balls down. They've been right in the fray when people have tried to go long against them. You don't see very many balls going into the middle of the field. And DJ is a special player with this team. Now I've watched him since he was a freshman.
For sure, yeah.
And I can't figure out where would he play in college. I don't know if he's that kind of suddenness at running back, like some of the backs that we see. But I know this. That guy can make somebody happy as a safety. You're talking about a guy who has ball skills and knows how to come up and strike you from being a linebacker. He's just that weird size. He's that 5'9", yeah. 185, 190, that if Baylor called him up, they'd find a place for him.
Yeah, probably one of the, you know, but now, Buck, I mean, those guys, like, used to be, it's funny how football terminology changes over time. You used to call those guys tweeners.
Yeah,
now,
oh no.
Now you call them hybrids.
Yeah, he's a hybrid player that knows the game of football. He understands positioning.
You used to call it tweener and it's negative. Now it's a hybrid. It's like, oh, he's a hybrid.
Yeah, but over the last two games in the playoffs, this kid's been averaging over 200 yards a game. And so when I watch him as a running back, I just don't know size-wise at 185. Now he can go to about, I don't think he's ever going to be 205, 210. I think he'll be 195 probably at most because he's got it on. But he's a football player that knows the game of football. And as a defender, you should see him strike. I mean, he knows how to bring that 185 with him. He hits like a linebacker. So I was thinking with his ball skills and ability, I would think somewhere he'd make a nice safety filling in. You know, he could fill the lane up pretty
for sure.
Yeah, he's stout. He's like Rod. You know, he looks stout, and he's a stout kid, and he will hit you. But at the running back position, he's explosive. I mean, last week I didn't think I thought he was still a little banged up maybe in the hip area. But he went for 96 yards, I think, Snoop. But he has much more explosiveness than I saw last week, and he still rushed for over 200 yards.
Yeah, nobody should laugh. Rod Babers once upon a time played nickelback in a Big 12 against Nebraska, so that was no joke back in the day. Buck, I know you got stuff
but
to do.
I'll just say this. Watching, you know, watching Vandergriff and Lake Travis play against Westlake, dude, this is boys among men. This team, the coach has got going on. Yeah. This is a manly, manly team. We're really physical guys, and the quarterback is as physical as anybody.
Yeah,
the one that I hope Sark is still in the driveway with his tent, shooting free throws on the hoop, trying to get him to change his mind.
I think it's a little late for that, but
No, we're not. It's never say never. Well, never say never.
We got it. Real quick, Snoop, go ahead and hit the sounder real quick for our Longhorn Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
We'll get to this more in the second hour, but we've confirmed the initial report by Omar Richardson. We've confirmed it at Horns 24/7. Quinn Ewers is going to visit Texas on Saturday. He's got his in-home with Texas Tech today. It's looking like this thing is drawing to a close, but Bucky, you've got Malik Murphy in the class, but this is a position where you're always looking to add talent at that quarterback position.
Don't stop recruiting players.
No, and you don't never stop, never think you're good in that room because it's kind of like you said with your health. The minute you think you're good and you're on top of the world, something will knock you down. The minute you think you're good at the quarterback position, that's when you know things usually start to unravel.
Yeah, and I'm definitely selling my wide receivers. I'm selling my wide receiver like nobody's business. The young guy here is magnificent. You got to let Quinn Ewers know that this guy's going to be playing with you. He plays hurt, and when he's healthy, he's unbelievable. So you got to be able to push that, and you got to be able to push some other wide receivers to come to University of Texas.
That's the big part.
Yes.
He'll get at least 1 year with Xavier Worthy and Bijan Robinson together.
Right.
I think we can all agree Bijan's got one more year, and then he's going to go.
I would think so, yes.
Get his multi-million-dollar payday.
And once again, I know he says he's coming back, but once again, never say never.
Yeah, but I've said it before, Bucky, and I think everybody's starting to come around on this. That kid's just wired different.
You know, he is.
Bijan's just wired different. He's got a very unique set of values for a young man in his position in the year 2021.
And if he goes 0-4 in the beginning or whatever they are, he's still going to try to play it out. It's just him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a football player.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you guys have a great day, man.
Bucky, thanks for hanging out with us for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So there's an abbreviated Longhorn Notebook. We'll get to more Texas football talk to that show, but we've got to take a break because coming up next, it's our weekly conversation with Westlake head coach Todd Dodge. We'll do that on the other side when we return and keep it rolling on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Hey. Bell time and jingle bell time.
Rolling along, Wednesday edition. Got my days of the week mixed up, talking to Coach Dodge about practice schedules and what day is what. But it's a Wednesday edition, a hump day edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. We will get to that. We'll get back to Longhorn football talk and all kinds of other stuff. But right now, we've got to get to our weekly coaches visit, which is brought to you by our good friends at Cedar Park Overhead Doors, cedarparkgaragedoors.com if you need them. And it's Wednesday, so that means it's time for our weekly in-studio visit with the head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, Todd Dodge. Coach Dodge, thank you so much, as always, for your time this morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Snoop. Love that music, Snoop.
Thank you.
It's getting close, isn't it?
Bobby Helms.
Yep.
It's the jam.
That's right.
Craig doesn't really like early Christmas music, so he likes to only wait a week out.
But he's not here, so Snoop and I are setting the rules today.
Yeah.
Coach, before we get started, hopefully we get to do a couple more of these, but I just think, and Snoop and I talk about this all the time, usually right after you walk out of here, it's been a real treat for us to, it's always a treat to talk to you, but to be able to kind of document weekly this journey that you're on in your last season. Yeah. This has been a real treat for us, and the feedback we get from listeners is tremendous. They love these visits.
Well, I tell you what, I have absolutely, it's been a joy for me through the last 8 years, every Wednesday to be on here, and you know, this season obviously is very special, and love visiting with y'all, and love, you know, being able to talk about our kids.
Let's talk about the Vandegrift game. You know, your kids came out on fire early and never really let up, and I don't think the final score should deceive people, because that was a really, really good Vandegrift mm-hmm. team yeah. that your kids beat.
Yeah, our kids just, they know how to play in these big games. They know how to get ready for them. They know how to be able to step into a stadium, spend about 15 minutes checking it out, and then getting down to business. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big difference in the ball game as we started the game. The stage wasn't too big for our kids. Obviously, you know, our special teams has been on the verge of blocking some punts all year, and has blocked some. As I've mentioned on here before, Coach Jones and Coach Dunham do a fantastic job of scheming some stuff up. And then our players believe that if they go really, really hard, they're going to be the one that's going to come free. And it happened to be Bradley Mays, and he blocked two of them. And then, of course, we blocked the other one when they – so, I mean, that was – when you block three punts in the first quarter or first half, I'm not sure, I guess it was the first half, that makes for the start mm-hmm. of a good game. Offensively, we were very efficient. Our receivers, I mean, we only threw the ball 14 times the entire game. Played on a short field. Offensive line was really good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you said, Jeff, I don't know every day of the week, you know, if you'd say, well, you know, you're 70-7 better than Vandegrift. You know, we don't really pay attention to that. We just kind of try to play hard and play right. well, and sometimes those scores go like that. But that's the way that one went.
Oh, I want to ask you real quick, special teams philosophy. Some coaches don't mind putting starters on return units or coverage units. Some coaches think that's a good opportunity to get a kid. Maybe he's a sophomore that'll start for you next year. Get him covering kicks and get him on your on your return units. What's always been your philosophy in terms of who you use on special teams?
Well, we'd like, you know, we always, during spring, we start at during spring, and we literally train everybody with the exception of probably quarterbacks and offensive linemen on every special team. Hmm. It's pretty simple. The defense trains on all the special teams. The offense trains on all the special teams. We work against each other during the spring, and then as the spring goes on, we kind of get our little covey of quail, so to speak, on our group of, you know, that are really going to be the good special teams players. And if so be it, if that happens to be a starter, he's going to be on. Keaton Quebec is a starting wide receiver. He's on a whole bunch of our stuff. You know, Jaden Greathouse, you know, is a starting wide receiver. I mean, is a return guy. And it goes throughout. But guys like guys like Will Maggots, mm-hmm. He is not a starter, but he plays a lot on defense. He has been a special teams, you know, just star for us this year. Brad Mays, number 88, has been he's blocked three punts this year. And And so we've got a group, Marlo Foken, a guy that plays, is a backup linebacker that plays a ton of special teams. So we've got a, it's nice to be able to have those guys that aren't necessarily first-line starters, but we will always play a starter if he helps us win.
I've always liked the high school coaches I've been around who told special teams guys, hey, don't, if you're a gunner or a jammer, be the best gunner or jammer you can be, because you might be the number two X receiver, but you are a starter. That's how important that third phase is. It sounds like your kids really take pride in that.
Well, they do. It's a beautiful thing. The game of football is that, you know, when you kick the game off, you got 11 starters on the kickoff, 11 starters on kickoff return, and so forth and so on. And so depth is important, and we have it.
Westlake head coach Ty Dodge joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Jeff Howe and Snoop Daniel.
Coach, I want to ask you about Will Courtney. Just a junior, but got a pick last week. And I saw him during summer sevens, and I thought he was going to be really good.
Will is a really good football player. He's long. He's about 6'2" and a half. He, you know, weighs about 175 now. He's just a junior. Very physical player. He's a guy that really, when he gets back into the weight room in a good off season, this off season, and continues to put some muscle weight on, you know, he's because he's a guy that is, he loves the physical part of the game. He's good, really good athlete.
Westlake guys like the physical part of the game.
Yeah, they do, and he's one of them. He's a guy, though, that, you know, he's starting to communicate. You know, he's one of those guys kind of like Jack Kaiser. They're very, very good football teams, and they football players, but they don't speak a whole lot. You know, and we got to get Will to be a communicator, and he started to do that, but he's really played well down the stretch for us.
I want to ask you about Connor Robertson, because he had the leg deal a couple of weeks ago. How's he doing?
He's doing great. Connor understands the difference between pain and injury. For about 8 days, it was an injury, and now it's just pain. And he understands that sometimes an uncomfortable football player will be playing in week 15, and but his production was still very high. We didn't see anything that was holding him back from doing everything he did before the injury.
I know we could talk about Cade every week, and it seems like we do, but just this week he's named Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Texas. I know Dabo Swinney was at the game on Saturday. You've had your share of great players over the years, Coach, and I know all of them have things in common. And not to compare him to anybody, but what is it that when you're around him every day and watching him grow, what makes Cade Klubnik a special guy?
He is a quarterback that's playing at an elite level. Obviously, the people who put rankings together think that he's pretty good, and you know, you don't get an offer by all the people he did. But he's a guy that's really never satisfied. He's constantly working his craft. He gains confidence from the good things that he does, but he's constantly just a worker bee, you know. And he's got such an infectious positive attitude. When we get up at 5:30 in the morning, you know, I've said this so many times, but I just think it's so important if that's going to be a part of your culture, that you're going to get up that early in the morning. Yeah. You better have the face of your program that they can get some other people going other than the coaching staff. And he does that. And he's, you know, he is so accurate. But he, if you asked him, he can be a lot more accurate because he's just constantly, you know, working his craft. Then, you know, I really appreciate Cade so much because, you know, he has he looks at these, you know, the Gatorade Player of the Year, the Player of the Year offensively in the state last year, and the Elite 11 and all this kind of stuff. You know, he looks at it as an award for Westlake. And
that's awesome.
You know, he really does, you know, and he's worked hard for those things, but Westlake football and his teammates have never taken a backseat to any of the accolades. And I guess, as a coach, you kind of worry about that sometimes with a 16, 17-year-old kid. Is all that going to be more important than leading his team? And that's never – so we are extra proud of him because we know he's got it in perspective.
It's interesting. All the quarterbacks you've worked with over the years, whether it's been going back to, you know, Chase Watson, Chase Daniel, through, you know, Greg McElroy, Riley, and up to Sam, and now Cade – I think I've asked you a variation of this question before.
Taylor Anderson.
Yeah, but
shout out.
When you know, a lot of times you've seen these guys when they're 7th, 8th grade coming up. How early can you determine, or have you determined with some of those guys, that's mm-hmm. going to be the guy?
Yeah. You know, pretty early at times. I'll just, you know, give you a Cliff Notes version. I mean, Wasson was – his dad was hired as our running back coach when Chase was a sophomore, kind of saw that coming for Chase to be a one-year senior starter. Mm-hmm. Chase Daniel was a terrific athlete that was too good of an athlete to not play on the varsity as a sophomore. He started 16 games at wide receiver.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Greg McElroy was probably the biggest grinder there ever was. I mean, he was the seventh grade C-team quarterback, the eighth grade C-team quarterback, and just kept going and going. I mean, he was a one-year starter. Riley was always the quarterback of that class. I mean, all the way from fourth grade. You know, Riley and Cade kind of reminded me of each other. They were pretty much a long time coming. When they were in elementary school, you could see them being the guy that would be, you know, a couple-year starter for their high school mm-hmm. team. Of course, Sam was no doubt. Of course, he had to win a battle against some older guys early and then being a two-year starter. And then probably the most unsung hero of all of them was Taylor Anderson. Yeah. You know, that again, another guy that is still the winningest quarterback in the history of Westlake High School.
Snoop, you got anything for Coach before?
And Sam had to beat out Reed Klubnik to get that gig, because I remember Reed was playing quarterback.
Reed was, and then Reed ended up being a fantastic wide receiver and led our program in a whole lot of categories and had a great career there at Yale.
I know we'll get to Katie here in just a second, but you know Riley's got a big game this week. Does it make it easier for you guys to talk where it wasn't a situation last year where you know you're headed on this collision course and regardless of what happens, you're not going to see each other in a state championship game this year?
It's funny you ask that, because last year about this time and in the couple of weeks previous to this, we were still talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Riley and I never thought we would end up facing each other in state championship. We were sharing ideas. We were talking personnel. We were talking, you know, in way too much for two guys that would end up meeting in a state championship. So, yes, now for our family, I'm thrilled that we have an opportunity, that he's playing in a semifinal, that my team's playing in a semifinal. We're not matching up. You know, we'd love to see the green and the black there in at AT&T, you know, come a couple weeks from now.
All right, Coach, let's talk about Katie. It's going down on Saturday, a state semifinal, and of all the blockbuster marquee games in the state this weekend, this might be the headliner. When you pop the tape in and look at Katie, is it any different than looking at a Katie team 5, 10, 15 years ago, what you see this year?
No, it's really not. They absolutely have worked their craft through the years, but I played against them in 2003 in the state championship, got beat by 1 point, played against them in state championship 2005. We won that game, played against them in the opening game of the 2016 season, and won that game. We were supposed to play them, you know, in that go back to Katy, but Hurricane took care of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, you know, over our time here, we've prepared for them a bit, but, you know, the beautiful thing about Katie, if you're a fan of football and you're a coach, is it's not necessarily what Katie does, it's how they do it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say that's true about us. It's not necessarily what we do, it's how we do it, you know, and how we but I've told our kids, you know, the one thing, you know, I don't worry about having to go through the respect deal and all that. If you don't, you know, if you don't respect Katie, then you're, you know, whatever. But that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I said, guys, we're playing in the Final Four. The team we're playing, if y'all remember when we stepped into the stadium last year, they were stepping off the field and won the state championship in Division II. Enough said. I mean, this stage will not be too big for them. It won't be too big for us. I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but these are two teams that pride themselves on tackling well. They pride themselves on catching balls when they hit your hands. They pride themselves on hitting open receivers. They pride themselves on blocking.
Mm-hmm.
They pride themselves on really solid special teams. And let's get it on at 2:00 and see who can do that the best. And that's really what's going to win the game.
When you go back, Coach, and think about crafting a non-district schedule, and you play a team that historically has the speed and athleticism that a Temple has, and historically has the size and plays with the physicality that a Trinity has. All that stuff is to get your kids
Absolutely.
Ready for right now.
No doubt. You know, the plan is to hope that you get back. We don't know whether we're going to go Division I or Division II when the season starts. We have aspirations to make it back to where we are right now. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be playing North Shore. It's going to be playing Katy if we got there. Well, you better play somebody that's going to test you before you get there. And the athleticism, Temple, the athleticism and the toughness of Trinity, and I think even more so probably the fastest team that we've played all year long was Mansfield Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're a 5A team, they're still playing right now.
Yep.
And they really, you know, they tested us.
In closing, Coach, that's what I was going to ask you about. I know you've got a lot of respect for that Mansfield Summit program. You got a lot of respect for that College Station program, mentioning them picking up the game when you couldn't play Katy. Those two teams are meeting in a 5A semifinal coming up on Saturday, or actually on Friday, excuse me. I know you'll be preoccupied getting ready, but those are two programs I know at that 5A level you've got a ton of respect for.
Well, I have gotten to know Coach Huff at College Station because we played them when we didn't play Katy in 2016. We were their only loss that year. They won the state championship. We beat them the first game of the season. They went all wire to wire for a state championship in 5A.
Mm-hmm.
Channon Hall at Mansfield Summit, I don't know if people across the state know much about him.
Former Colleen Shoemaker head coach.
Fantastic coach.
Yep.
Fantastic staff. Fantastic kids. I mean, I just have so much respect for him. I've kept in touch with him this year, Coach, and kept in touch. You know, people really don't realize how much respect coaches across the state have for one another, and you want to see people do well. We're fixing to play against a guy that I've always had so much respect for, and Gary Joseph and the great job that he's done there. I mean, the dude has won like 230 games in 17 years at Katy as a head coach. I mean, he's been remarkable, and so you don't expect anything less when you play in the semifinals.
Real quick, Coach, I know you've been a head coach and a quarterbacks coach at the collegiate level. I've always said this about Coach Joseph and anybody that's had the opportunity just to listen to him talk ball or watch his teams. I've always thought if he wanted to, he could be a coordinator at the Power 5 level. I mean, I think he's that good at what he does.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. He is one of the absolute all times head coaches and defensive minds.
There you go. It's Westlake and Katy McLean Stadium at Baylor coming up on Saturday, and we'll see if the Chaps can win and make it back to AT&T Stadium and play for the big one next week. Our weekly visit brought to you by our good friends at Cedar Park Overhead Doors, cedarparkgaragedoors.com. It's our weekly in-studio visit with Westlake head coach Todd Dodge. Coach, thank you so much for stopping by, and best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Inconceivable and Snoop's Whataburger Top 5. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Before you head to your game, Light the Tower. Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 players to watch.
Back here on a hump day edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff House, Snoop Daniel. Big thank you to Westlake head coach Todd Dodge for his weekly in-studio visit. We'll keep the high school football talk rolling because it is time for the Snoop Daniel edition of the Whataburger Top 5, and it is Top 5 players to watch. So, Snoop, take it away.
No ties here. Number 5, Reese Vickers, quarterback for the Liberty Hill Panthers. Reese spelled with an S. There's lots of ways to spell Reese, but his is spelled with an S. He's really come on strong of late. He's played so well at quarterback that they've actually decided to throw the rock a couple of times. And Will, I'm going to butcher his last name. It's spelled crazy. Shrizik, I'm sorry, Will, I butcher your last name. You my homie. Number 11, he's come back healthy, but they've moved him to tight end to let Reese continue to play quarterback. And he's just a junior, so he's a player to watch. If they're going to upset, no, I don't think it would be an upset. They're going to avenge their loss from last year to Crosby. Reese Vickers is going to need number 16 for Liberty Hill. Number 4 player to watch, Will Courtney. We talked a little bit about from Westlake, talked a little bit about him with Coach Dodge. He's a junior cornerback. He picked off Brayton Buchanan last week at DKR. He's really emerging as a player. And you heard him 6'1", 175.
Mm-hmm.
If he hits the weights, like, really, the sky is the limit for Will Courtney. So not a lot of people know his name. My number 3 player is Tyrone Jarrells. He's a defensive back for LBJ. And I'm really going kind of deep on the rosters because you hear about – like when you think
well, – that's what it's all about, Snoop.
Yeah, Tyrone Jarrells, he had a pick last week in the state quarterfinals against Fredericksburg. He is a ball hawk. He doesn't have the shine of like Andrew Makuba, who was just named the AC, was he ACC Freshman of the Year?
ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year.
But he has great upside potential. People are just now knowing his name. You got two more games to put on the books. Tyrone, keep showing out. I think that you're a player to watch. And actually, I got two LBJ players in my top five. Number two is Caleb Brown. He's a running back slash linebacker for LBJ. Now, nobody knew he was going to be playing for the Jaguars because he came up in the Del Valle program. He got offered by Houston as a sophomore, had 150 tackles. Now he's starting to get carries. He's one of the top tacklers on the LBJ defense. So a lot of people know about, you know, Nunu, or they're hearing about Trent Leary, who's also an ex-Del Valle player. But really, watch for Caleb Brown. He's so underrated. Finally, my number one player to watch this weekend is a young man that plays wide receiver for Lake Travis, and his name is Chernet Estes. He's had five touchdowns in the last three games. While defenses are going to focus on Caleb Burton, the former number one overall wide receiver recruit and Ohio State verbal commit for Lake Travis, Chernet really showed a lot of you remember we talked with Coach Hank Carter. I asked him about summer sevens, mm-hmm. and if it helped, and he's like, yes, our offensive players. Well, the hottest duo that summer that got them to, they went to the state Final Four for the state championships and state sevens, was Edmondson to Estes. And now it's really starting to show that chemistry once again. I think if we're going to have a shot to beat North Shore, and I think we do. This is our best shot that we've had in the last couple times that we played them. Chernet can do it, man. Like, they aren't going to be expecting him. Hank said they like to play. Who am I, Hank? Coach Carter said they like to play one-on-one. See, I get too familiar when they're in here. And, yeah, and he said there's going to be a lot of one-on-one coverage on them DBs. Chernet, go get them. Let's go LT. That's my top five.
You can call Coach Carter Hank. I do.
Well, you're a grown up. I'm a grown up.
You
too.
Are too. Smith.
I know. I don't even know why I think that way. I think I don't know. I'm weird in the head. I'm sorry.
But I remember going out to, you know, because back when I was on the recruiting beat, I would make sure I went to Lake Travis in the spring. Gotta go. You know, it's in my area. Gotta go out there. Now, I remember going out, I think they were maybe replacing Colin Lagasse at quarterback or maybe Michael Brewer, and there were three guys. I forget the third guy, but the one guy was Bear Fenimore, and then the third guy Coach Carter introduced me to was a young Baker Mayfield. And I remember looking at Baker Mayfield like, bro, you look like you're about 12.
Yes.
He did. He could have compete for a quarterback job, but
Bear.
He did.
Oh, Bear. Bear was, dude, that kid, you want to talk about promise, man, he was – supposed to be.
And
he wound up going to Westwood and Westwood had a great varsity career.
Did he sign with U of H?
He bounced around a little bit in college, and he's just a lot like a lady slayer now. But
I'll take your word for it on that. If Bear's parents are listening, those are the words of Snoop Daniel.
Melissa,
send your complaints to at Snoop Daniel.
Melissa
on the Twitter
Ravenscroft,
machine.
That's his mom.
All right, so there is your Snoop Daniel edition of the Whataburger Top 5. Now let's close out our number one with a little inconceivable.
Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Snoop, what do you want first? We got two. You want a bomb shoved in some dude's rectum, or want severed tiger shark head dumped on the hood of a car?
Let's start with the second one, because whatever you said at first, I heard you say one word. I don't like it.
Okay, we'll go severed head of tiger shark dumped on car hood after fishing competition. This is coming to you for courtesy of Newsweek. The severed head of a tiger shark was dumped on the hood of a car, and the vehicle vandalized following a fishing competition in New South Wales, Australia. Shit, I wanted to save this one for Craig in case Craig connected with us today, because Craig is our Australian Bureau Chief for Inconceivable, but alas, I just have to go ahead and read it as is. The head was discovered after a video circled on social media. See, Snoop, this is another one that you love, people outing themselves on the gram or the Twitter machine or
looking
TikTok or whatever. When looking for clout goes bad, the head was discovered after a video circled on social media showing fishermen hoisting a dead tiger shark out of the water to be weighed. According to ABC News, two tiger sharks were killed during the White Sands fishing competition. Their heads were then cut off and their bodies were dumped at sea. One of the heads was kept for taxidermy, but the other was dumped on the hood of a car belonging to someone from the Jervis Bay Game Fishing Club, ABC News reported. Police are now investigating the incident. Footage of the shark being lifted from the boat can be viewed here. I'm not going to click on that. A photo of the shark heads can be seen here. Shark's head can be seen here. I'm not going to click on that either. The annual fishing competition has categories that include the tag and release of sharks. Killing, however, is not condoned. A statement from the JBGFC provided to ABC News said it did not condone the actions of the fishermen who killed the sharks. So, yeah, I don't know. There's really no motive behind this other than I guess these dudes just thought they were being funny. And like you said, Snoop, I guess, looking for some clout. This is different than the time that guy that looked an awful lot like former Florida head coach Jim McElwain was pictured naked mounting a shark on a boat. Did you ever see that picture, Snoop?
No.
Yeah, there. If you just Google Jim McElwain shark and
Jim
you'll...
Naked?
I don't even think you have to include that. I think if you just Google Jim McElwain shark, it'll pop up. And there's a guy that, again, looks an awful lot like Jim McElwain who's just being awful friendly with a shark laid out on a boat. All right, so there it is. Severed shark head left on a car after a fishing competition for no reason other than some folks were looking for social media clout. All right, let's get to this one, Snoop. This from the New York Post. I can't believe we haven't touched on this yet. It's a couple of days old now. But bomb squad rushes to hospital after a WW2 era shell found in man's rectum. An army bomb squad rushed to an English hospital after a man was admitted with a World War II era ammunition shell. What is wrong with my computer right now? This is inconceivable. It's jumping all over the place.
Oh, that dude.
There we go. Okay.
I just found the naked guy at the shark.
You found the Jim McElwain
that
shark
dude
picture?
Needs some sun.
Now Google a pic. Now keep that tab open. Just Google Jim McElwain and tell me that guy on the shark doesn't look like Jim McElwain. We just got to do this real quick. Sorry, folks. This is live on-air research.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Looking at? Yes. Yeah, they do. They do. They look similar.
I just want you to be aware of that.
Build and profile.
See, Snoop doesn't get exposed to a lot, so the stuff that Craig and I expose him to, I got to make it count. So now Snoop knows the Jim McElwain shark deal, allegedly. All right, getting back to the story. An army bomb squad rushed to an English hospital after a man was admitted with a World War II era munition shell stuck in his rectum, according to police. The Army Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team rushed to Gloucestershire. I'm probably butchering that. Royal Hospital following, quote, a report that a patient had...
Because the story's terrible.
A report that a patient had with a munition in his rectum, the police told The Sun on Tuesday. The item had been removed prior to police arrival, and the Army's Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team were contacted, said the authorities who confirmed the round was not live. The incident was confirmed to the outlet by the UK's Ministry of Defense. Sources told The Sun that the man said he had, quote, slipped and fell on the 2.2-inch shell typically fired from a WW2 anti-tank artillery gun. The round was reportedly from his own personal collection of military memorabilia. A hospital spokesman told the paper, quote, as with any incident involving munitions, the relevant safety protocols were followed to ensure there was no risk to patients, staff, or visitors at any time. He is expected to make a full recovery. Snoop, I am not buying the slip and fall. That fib is old as the hills. Look, man.
I've heard somebody say they slip and fell on something else.
That's a line from an Eminem song,
yeah,
is it not?
Yeah. This,
what? She tripped, fell?
That's what it was. I was like, where is
guilty
that
conscience.
From?
Guilty conscience.
Thank you.
I'm not saying bump back with guilty conscience because
we're doing
Christmas music. But I look, different strokes for different folks. Everybody's got their own quirks and whatnot. I ain't here to judge. I'm just saying I'm not buying the slip and fall defense for where this artillery shell was lodged. You're gonna have to do better than that. You're gonna have to do better than that.
I'm speechless.
I want to know, like, ER doctors just have to see, like, if you're working the ER at, I don't know, 3 a.m, 2 a.m. You just got to see some outlandish stuff walk through your ER doors.
You're either at the strip club or at the ER at 3 a.m.
Neither one's probably a great place to be. We'll put the outlandish stuff on hold. We'll get back to talking football. And we're going to talk Longhorn football when we come back for hour number 2 of Light the Tower.